And now,
great to be back.
Back to the Bill Frank Radio Show.
Awesome.
And your host, Bill Frank.
Welcome back. This is the Bill Frank Show on KVTA News Talk 1520. I'm your host, Bill Frank. I'm bringing fresh perspectives to Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is potpourri. Each of my guests has an interesting subject, no two of which are related. My next guest is a city councilwoman in Port Hueneme. In a departure from her day job as head of a consulting company, she's written an historical novel about nearly forgotten period of a Mexican history. We'll discuss her first book, Abandoned Angels. Sylvia Munoz-Schnapp is president and CEO of Schnapp Consulting Group. She has 20 years of experience in marketing, public relations, media relations, and bilingual communications. Sylvia has been active with the Ventura County Economic Development Association for several years, serving in a variety of capacities. Prior to starting her own business, she worked at AT&T Wireless and at the United Way of Ventura County. She received her MBA in finance from Cal Lutheran University and holds a BS in business administration and marketing. Sylvia is a licensed minister, interestingly enough, a college professor, and is currently Port Hueneme councilwoman, as I said. She served as mayor during the 2010-2011 term. Joining me in the studio, hi Sylvia, how are you today?
Hi Bill, good, how are you?
Well, delighted to have you in the studio. So now, in addition to all of your other accomplishments, you can add published author. So tell us, how'd you come to write the book, Abandoned Angels?
You know, it came with a simple question that I asked my dad in the spring of 2003. And I asked him to recall his mother, my grandmother, who unfortunately passed away when he was about 11 years old. And here's my father, who is 81 in that year, 2003. And he just, you know, told me what she looked like. She was born in 1900. She was youthful and had a long braid. And then the next sentence was, during that time, there was a big war between the Cristeros and the Federales in Mexico, and that floored me. I had never heard a story like that before. I then asked my dad, do you mean this is the Mexican Revolution? And he shook his head and he says, no, mija, that's not what it is. It was another war. And so that piqued my interest at the point.
Well, it is a fascinating story. So tell us a little bit of history about the Cristeros Revolution or Cristeros War.
Okay. So let's take you back to the 1920s in Mexico. They had just come out of the Mexican Revolution, just set up into place a new constitution. But the constitution really had a lot of anti-clerical laws. That meant it was against pretty much the Catholic Church. So in 1924, a new president comes into town called Plutarco Elias Calles, and he starts enforcing the anti-clerical. Plus, he put into motion some teeth with that. He put together what was called Ley Calles. And that started then this Cristero War. The laws were passed in July 1926. And effectively, the Church of Mexico and the Vatican decided the only way to save their people was to close all the churches indefinitely in Mexico. And you have to understand that Mexico was about 90% Catholic at the time. High percentage still exists Catholic. And so this affected the entire country. The Cristeros came together, a team of ragtag people who were mostly farmers and ranchers and business owners, and they rose up in arms to defend their religious freedom against the federal government of Mexico.
Well, it's a fascinating piece of history. Many people don't know about it. I find it interesting that Calles was himself an atheist, and that's perhaps why the Calles laws were so anti-church. Is that a fair statement?
It is a fair statement, but also something that's really more of an oxymoron is his wife was a devout Catholic. And so you have to understand that there was this feud inside his, even his own family, with regards to being Catholic or not. And so unfortunately, during his term, the atheism won out. He had the, you know, entire group of diputados in Mexico really on his side, and that's why he was able to enforce what he did.
All right. Now, the actual revolution or the war, the Cristeros War, took place in Ocotlán, Jalisco. Why did it concentrate or why did it focus in that area of Mexico?
Ocotlán was one of the areas. Jalisco comprises the states known as Central West Mexico. And you have quite a bit of believers. And Bill, it's, you know, it's your question that you ask a very good question, because it was a war that affected the entire country of Mexico, but certainly the more central fights were in the states of Jalisco, Michoacán, Aguascalientes, Guanajuato. And so in Ocotlán, you had the train that came through that went to Guadalajara. That was, of course, the capital of that state. In Ocotlán, it was really more the Federales took control there. And then my father was from a place called Los Altos de Jalisco, which is a region of different cities over on the northeast side of the state. And he was close to a town known as Arandas. And so in those areas of Los Altos, then the Cristeros really were the freedom fighters that took control of those areas.
I see. My guest is Sylvia Munoz-Schnapp, and she is talking about her latest book, Abandoned Angels. She's also a councilwoman here in the city of Port Hueneme, so she's got multiple credits to her name. Coming back to the war, so there it was in the Jalisco region down there, but really, the war started out more as an economic rebellion, as many of these things do. The Catholics decided that they were going to boycott, and it was started out as economic repatriation. So how did it escalate into full-scale war and bloodshed?
What happened, as far as I could tell in the history books, in 1924, the governor of Jalisco decided that enough was enough and he was going to start closing the churches. And so he told the Catholics, you choose 3, 4, 6 of them, but that's all I'm going to have open in the state or, you know, in the city of Guadalajara. And the Catholics rose up to then boycott. And certainly their message went loud and clear. They pretty much shut down the city of Guadalajara over the course of a weekend. And when the governor saw that, he realized what he wanted to do wasn't going to happen. And so then he backed off. But certainly the Catholics knew that they had the willpower, but also perhaps even the stamina to survive, you know, 2, 3, 4 days of just, you know, let's shut down the city because we want to send a big message. And so when Ley Calles was coming into effect, what the Catholics decided to do is to boycott and also to rally some marches through some cities. But they also had a petition signed that said, we don't want this law to go to effect. And at that point, their voice was not heard and it went into effect. And so the Cristero soldiers in the Los Altos area, which is where my book focuses in on Los Altos, as well as Ocotlán and Mexico City, of course, because the president is there. But when they rose up, it was early January of 1927. So here it was where they effectively had to try to live without their Catholicism, without the church being there, without any of the sacraments or anything that had to do with a day-to-day existence for the people. That was all stripped from them. And so January 1927 was when they rose up to battle. The story goes is that they stormed City Hall, burned it, and then showed up on my grandfather's property, known as Rancho Las Cruces, in Los Altos de Jalisco, and took that as headquarters for the period of the war.
All right. My guest is Sylvia Munoz-Schnapp, and we're talking about her latest book about the Cristeros War. Now, coming out of the war, there were some very famous generals that emerged. One of them was General Victoriano El Catorce Ramirez, who turned out he was a ranch hand before he became a general. Tell us a little bit about him and why is he so central to your novel?
Okay. Victoriano El Catorce Ramirez is a legend in Mexico. Many people know him, especially in the area of Jalisco. He was pushing about 40 years old, was really a very poor gentleman from that area, but his love for God and for the church was absolutely, you know, stellar. It was out of this world. And so he faced the fact that he could not worship God in this time in Mexico. The Catholic Church went underground. The priests were given an opportunity to still say Mass, but it had to be a shortened Mass, because you have to understand that if a federal government policeman found that you had any regalia in terms of being Catholic or Christian on you, or you were a priest, you would be shot dead right there or hung. I mean, there was no taking you into jail. There was no being represented by an attorney to state your case and how you're innocent. It was just downright, we'll kill you right here and now. And so Victoriano Ramirez was one of those men who rose up, who challenged the other men of his area and said, we have to fight for our freedom. And Victoriano Ramirez was a leader, an outright leader during that time.
Why the nickname El Catorce?
El Catorce means number 14.
Yeah.
And the legend goes that with one gun, he was able to kill 14 men in one fell swoop. And so that's why the nickname stuck.
Wow, that's a miraculous set of bullets there. My guest is Silvia Munoz-Schnapp. We're talking about her book, Abandoned Angels. So he came to an interesting end, didn't he? How did he end up dying? It was in the revolution, but it wasn't in the way that one might think.
El Catorce, what happened to him is the federal government, and you have to understand that President Calles was, he himself, a big general from the Mexican Revolution. So most of these big-time players, both in leadership of Mexico as well as the Cristero War, were all revolutionary war heroes in their own right. And so Calles then set out to destroy but infiltrate also the Cristero camps. And so El Catorce, he came to his demise because there was a gentleman who came into his camp and really started to question some things he did. And so he was, in a way, handed over to the federales, who then killed him.
Oh, that's a tragic way to come to an end. Now, Silvia, the Cristeros Revolution was a particularly violent period in Mexican history. So why is it important to share this story with Latinos about the revolution?
Well, Bill, I'm glad you asked that question, because Latinos actually comprise a really large portion of our majority. In particular, in Ventura County, there are some cities where they're over 50%. I know in my city of Port Hueneme, it's a little over 40% of the population. And it's an unknown history. I've done some research within the community and asked Latinos, and I could tell you hands down that the vast majority under 70 years old don't even know about this war. And I'm not just talking about Mexicans and Mexican Americans that are born here, but I'm talking about even those that were raised and educated in Mexico. This is an unknown war. It's very much glossed over in history books. I saw a history book that really only represented a third of one page. Most of that area was taken by a photo and only several lines underneath that photo to describe the Cristero Revolution. So it's an atrocity, but I have come to the point of knowing about my grandparents on both sides, and my book is based on their true story, in that I hope that this is a catalyst for people to understand their rich heritage in Mexico, about they were not going to stand for their religious rights taken away, and they were going to fight to death to have their religious freedoms come back. And so we talk about the strong faith in the valiant men, as well as the women who fought for this religious freedom.
My guest is Silvia Munoz-Schnapp, who is a Port Hueneme councilwoman, also author of the newest book, Abandoned Angels. What did you get out of writing the book, Silvia?
What did I get? I got the sense of my heritage is very vast and rich. And my parents, who came to the States when they were in their 20s and found that this was their new home, they certainly didn't talk to us kids about their past. And I was able, by sheer blessing, to receive the story directly from my father in his actual last year of living. And so I was able then to communicate that to my family, and that really started kind of a groundswell within the larger family of the Munozes. But what's really interesting here, Bill, is that we know that history can repeat itself, but will it? And if challenged by somebody that says, you can live, but you have to renounce your religious freedom, would we do that? Would we actually step to the point of having to make that decision? And then it also begs the other question of, what price would you pay for religious freedom?
Two very important questions. Let's hope we don't have to face them here in Ventura County. My guest has been Silvia Munoz-Schnapp, author of the book Abandoned Angels. You've probably piqued the interest of some of my listeners. If they want to learn more about you, Silvia, and learn more about the book, where would you direct them to go?
I do have a website, and it's my full name, Silvia Munoz-Schnapp at .vpweb.com. And the book will be out at the end of the year. It's in the last stages of production at this point, but it is a historical fiction.
Oh, that is great. Thank you so much for being my guest, Silvia, here on The Bill Frank Show. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you.